I don't know. Were there any of those little pieces of things that just especially bugged you?
Bugged you?
Yes, I should have gone that way. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 171. The beloved president of Nintendo of America, Reggie, has announced his retirement and, well, moment of silence.
How long, though?
Yeah, that was a really long moment of silence. I mean, for someone could, not dying.
Tom could edit that as long or as short as he would like. But for all intents and purposes, Reggie is dead. He has stepped down as president of Nintendo of America. Or he is in the process. He's announced his retirement. And in an unbelievable turn of events, Doug Bowser will be Reggie's successor.
Can we laugh about that so much? Because I think that whole name is hilarious.
I mean, people have already.
I know, but I joined them, and I like when
here's the thing.
I don't know. Ironic.
Sometimes how our recording schedule falls, we're like 4 or 5 days into some of the news that everybody has been like lambasting all over social media for the last few days. So we feel like we're coming to it late, but this is our first response to it. So we got to comment, one, on Reggie's stepping down because we love him, right? But then two, that Bowser will now finally be in control of Nintendo.
Oh, no. We're screwed.
So here, rather than doing what everyone else is doing, can we just do this? What do you think this will mean for Mario now that his mortal enemy will be at the helm?
Well, I think the obvious, he's like, Peach is going to be screwed. She's like, captured it, forever. Well,
forever?
Until Bowser gets knocked out. I don't know who would take his place, though.
Reggie's coming back.
Reggie? The return of Reggie? This starts the plot line of Reggie's return 10 years from now.
Okay. I'm down. Now, do you feel that the planned Yoshi and Captain Toad games will now be canceled?
Yeah, probably. And then we'll get a Bowser game? Oh. Weird.
That would be good.
I secretly would love if they played off of it more because it's funny. And if there was some like Bowser heavy titles, even for just a little while, or even just one big one that was like really well made lovingly, I think it would be hilarious.
You play as Bowser.
No, whoa. I don't know what you're saying, but I think it was going the direction that I am. If you don't want any Super Mario Odyssey spoilers, then stop or fast forward 30 seconds right now.
Wait, I'm part of the show. I can't stop and fast forward.
You're near the end of Odyssey, you get to play as Bowser for a little bit, and it was one of my most favorite parts of the whole game.
Okay, continued spoilers. What? Near the beginning of Odyssey, you get to play as a T-Rex for a little while, and that should be your favorite part of the game, because it was awesome.
No, it's not. But listen.
Yes.
I think that Bowser, I think he's going to do a good job. A lot of people are skeptical because apparently of some of the choices he's made in the past. But
and because of who he is and what his track record
shows. But it's whatever. I'm fine. I love Reggie, though, and I wish him a great retirement.
Everyone loves Reggie. He did so good. He stuck on through like the embarrassment that was the Wii U for the most part, like in Nintendo's catalog at least, and brought it back. And at the height, the zenith of the Switch popularity, he's announcing his retirement. He's doing it perfectly. He's done so well for Nintendo. Yes. I mean, he will go down as a loved figure. Bowser will do well, but Doug, we're not buying it. Like, we know who you really are. You're just a creepy, crawly doppelganger. You're just a villain in disguise trying to take over the whole world. We're on to you. Like in our retro game of the week, Spider-Man.
Overview.
Spider-Man is an action-adventure game that was developed by Neversoft and published by Activision. Well, I've heard of that combo before. Do you guys know what that combo is?
T-Hawk?
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. So the same team worked on this game. And it came out in 2000 for the PlayStation. It was ported to several other consoles, like a lot, like Game Boy, Dreamcast, even Windows.
Yeah, it pretty much dropped on every available system or console at the time. Like, it was big.
But I think that there were slightly different versions, or were they all the same? You know how they did that back here? They put it for all these different systems, and there are some different teams for different ones. Was this all Neversoft Activision?
I want to say it was, but I do think you're onto something with they're slightly different in the game itself. I think the N64 one that I played was a little different, like cutscene-wise, but I might be wrong on that.
And I feel like, doesn't it have to be different than the Game Boy Color game?
Or, it's got to be. Yeah, it's got to be. Like, the Game Boy Color couldn't push that.
I know you just said it was the same team that did Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I didn't know that. Sure. I did know that it's the same game engine. So, like, for me, having played a lot of Tony Hawk Pro Skater, it feels similar in some ways, and even looks similar in some ways.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe not the same team, but that's what I'm getting at. It uses the Tony Hawk Pro Skater engine that they used at the time, and those games were really popular. And yeah, it totally feels that way. Duh, it's about Spider-Man. You know Spider-Man. There are so many Spider-Man games. Last week, Dustin had trouble finding this one online because, I don't know, there's like 30 probably. But
at least. I actually tried to count. I think you're right about correct, actually, is how many Spider games there are.
That's crazy.
I ended up writing in my notes dozens and dozens, but I think that I was right over 30, which is interesting that you guessed that number.
Yeah, that is interesting.
That many Spider-Man games, and most of them are trash.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. 30 games, like, the majority of those are not going to be quality. It's just going to be like writing off of the hype of Spider-Man.
Well, and early on, do you even have the capability of doing a Spider-Man game when Spider-Man's, like, very shtick is swinging around a city?
Right. Well, they did it here. I think this is the first one. So this is a 3D game, obviously, on PlayStation 1, and it's open world? It's not. But it opens the door to more areas and space that you can explore as Spider-Man. To me, I would argue that this is the first Spider-Man game where you actually felt like Spider-Man slinging through New York City.
It's 3D and kind of free roam, but not like open world.
Sure.
But kind of. We've got to say here that, like, so when we pulled this on the randomizer last week, like Nolan said, I was confused trying to figure out what game. I thought it was Spider-Man 2 for the PlayStation 2. That's the game that I was most familiar with. When I hear Spider-Man and PlayStation, that's what my mind goes to. Now, a lot of people, I found out this week, their mind goes to this title. This is the first one that started moving in those directions that both Nolan and Kenny are talking about. But it was Spider-Man 2, in my opinion at least, that opened the door there even more. So yes, this is 3D. Yes, this has some open world elements. Yes, you can swing through a little bit of New York City, but there's still great limitations on all of that. And in fact, they got a story reason for that. You want to set up the story a little
bit? Yeah, sure. So the plot is actually pretty on brand, I feel, for Spider-Man. So I know that...
Definitely.
Well, I think a lot of games, shows, I don't know, Spider-Man things at the time and over the years have tried to go, like, maybe serious or a little away from what the original comic is. But to me, this story feels like the original. So you're Peter Parker, and the game starts with this scene of you at this event that Dr. Octavius is putting on. So it's the science expo, and he's showing off his new thing, his new equipment or whatever. I actually don't know what it was. Maybe you find out later. But he's there taking pictures for the Daily Bugle, and so is Brock, who we all know is, spoilers, Venom. And anyways, Spider-Man, Peter Parker's in the crowd, but Spider-Man walks onto the stage, and it cuts to Peter, and he's like, wait, what? What? And he steals the equipment. So that's how the game's set up. And then now it's not just like, oh, let me beat Dr. Octopus. It's like, wait, there's someone impersonating me. And that sets up the whole scene of now the cops are mad at Spider-Man. So like the real Spider-Man, you playing Spider-Man, have to be aware of the police, of the bad guys now. And so there's that whole thing going on there. And keep in mind here, they packed so much into this game. Like, there's so much fan service. You get like almost all of the Spider-Man villains to either fight or they're part of the story.
It's almost ridiculous how many just like cameos they throw in.
I love it.
Well, not just villains. It's the heroes too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Cat.
Within the first like 5 minutes, you've got Doc Ock, Venom, Carnage, and that doppelganger. And then on top of that, you've got Black Cat, Daredevil, and the Human Torch.
Like,
and that's only in the first like few minutes of the game. Yeah. Then you've got a lot more throughout the rest of the game. I don't know if you said, because I think it's a key thing about the city, is that Doc Ock or whoever unleashes this poisonous gas into New York City.
Right.
And so that limits how you're able to go about the city. And you can stay up high in the skyscrapers, but you don't have unlimited access to the city, which I think that's on brand. That's reasonable, especially for 2000.
Well, it's a good cover up too. Like, hey, we're limited. We can't really render a street and cars moving. Let's just put yellow gas and say that in the plot, they released some gas in the city, but I'm down with it.
It totally works as a like game mechanic sort of mask, you know, to where you have just a couple of skyscrapers sticking up and that's all you can interact with at a time, swinging and, you know, sort of defining your space that way. But can we say it's a really, really kind of actually ridiculous plot device? Because if you get down into the fog at all as Spider-Man, who's superhero level, he dies. Like, it's game over.
It's strong gas.
This is New York City.
Everybody's got a weakness, and Spider-Man's weakness is gas.
This whole city has already been gassed. Like, this is a tragedy beyond any other tragedy that's ever gone on. And he's off, like, chasing villains, having a good time up in the clouds.
Remember, Kenny, this is a comic book, and we got to make it palatable to... We have to make a game, and so they covered up the streets with gas. That's what we're going with.
And they leaned hard into the comic book thing. Not only did they pack it full of villains and full of heroes, but they got Stan Lee himself...
Yes, they
did. ...to do some voice work
in this.
And then just included a number of other things that felt real comic booky, you know, some like cover art scenes that you would get throughout the levels, and just did a really good job. I think you said on brand, Nolan, and I think that nails it. This was a very, very self-aware Spider-Man-y Spider-Man game.
Gameplay.
Kenny, you did a first play this week?
I did.
And almost selected little kid mode.
I kind of wanted to, because it was, the selection process was just so funny.
Was so good. Go it's watch great. Kenny's first play on YouTube. There's no other there's no voice acting on any of the other options, normal, hard, whatever. When you go to this, is it called little kid mode?
It's called kid mode.
Kid mode. We'll call it little kid mode. Every time you did, a different voice says something.
And like a bunch of different voices that are ridiculous.
Changes each time. Like, ridiculous. So I really wanted you to select that.
And then the little art, and he shoots it with the web, and it's just ridiculous every time. And I don't even know what kid mode is. I'd assume you just like fully can't die, and you just get to kind of go through the story. Like,
you play
way,
as kid
way
Spider-Man.
Easy. But
no way.
it looks funny in the selection screen, but I don't know.
I wish you would have chose it, but you did go normal just because your pride was standing in the way. But as you got into the game and started to realize that you've got a lot of abilities, not necessarily abilities, a myriad of techniques that Spider-Man has in his arse and all here. And when it comes to Spider-Man, and even the games that came before this in the Spider-Man universe, you're limited on to what he can do. And Spider-Man in general, could be a limited character.
Sure.
You've got your standard punch, kick, and web sling. But in this game, in 2000, you also have a zip line straight up to the roof. You've got this web projectile. You can put these like web boxing gloves on that doubles your damage. Yeah. And then even my favorite, this web dome that he can like spray over himself. And then you can press another button that activates it and it explodes and does an area of effect to all of your enemies. You've got a lot of different options here.
Right.
And
as well as the ability to like target where you're going to shoot your webs. I didn't end up using that a lot initially, but found it very helpful later on as I progressed. So much.
Yeah, holding that like L1, and it's great. It's slow for me.
Yeah,
and isn't it that I get confused? Like in flying games, how you can alternate up and down, like
inverted.
I think it's set up like where up is down and down is up, and that always throws me off.
A lot of games at the time utilized that. I'm not sure why. Like GoldenEye, I think defaulted to that too.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I don't either.
Like, do that.
All right. They're really going to like us to do the opposite of what they're pressing.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be great.
So you do have all that stuff at the beginning, which I love. And I also really liked, and usually the opposite is true for me, but I love that they didn't have like a real crazy tutorial. They just let you get right into it. And you just start the game on a building and it's like, okay, let's start swinging and figure this out.
It is really nice. And that like you can get each of those blue question marks and then Black Cat can show up each time and walk you through. Even doing that is relatively brief though. Other than that, it lets you learn. And it's cool that even with those question marks, it doesn't teach you everything. Like you're learning still some abilities on stage 3 or on like level 4 and different things like that.
You are also given a lot of freedom, I feel like, in how you want to fight or play as Spider-Man, which, you know, I don't know if that was a super intentional, but there's a stealth component, I feel, to this game that you can choose to play with, like sneaking up behind enemies, that instead of just like going all out and like button mash punching, which you can also do if you prefer to do that. So I was really impressed that you're able to kind of play at your own pace and have some freedom in the combat.
I didn't really use it, but there's actually a stealth button. Did you guys know that?
Yes, I had to. Well, I didn't look that up specifically, but like I watched
Yeah. So I think what you're referring to, or at least what I picture in my mind, there's different times where you're in particular, you're like swinging through the top parts of New York City and there's like guards with guns on top of the building and they're patrolling. And so you can successfully stealthily walk up behind them and pretty much pile drive
them
or jump on their shoulders or just punch them, kick them off the building,
different things like that,
which I'm sure they don't die when they fall, you know, all of those stories down into the gas, which as we know.
Fog that's deadly.
But it does give you great flexibility on how you play as Spider-Man, but I ended up just finding myself jumping and kicking. Yeah, you've got this. You can jump and Spider-Man jumps high, which is great. And then you can, if you press kick while in the air, whoever you're targeting, he just like dive kicks them or dive hits them. If you use the punch button, does damage and keeps me out of getting damage, out of like danger. But at the same time, it gets very tedious for me. And I know I don't have to play that way, but I was not about to sit through the 10-minute animation of him getting off of the ground after being hit every single time.
The other really cool thing is, I mean, webs, right? So you use webs a lot as Spider-Man. And the way they kind of balance that mechanic, they use cartridges. They use a web gauge next to your health. And you can't just unlimited shoot enemies or tie them up with your webs because you can neutralize enemies that way. You have to conserve it and find more of those cartridges. And I thought they were fairly placed throughout the game. I never was like completely empty, though I also am pretty conservative with using them. But I thought it was a solid mechanic. I think unlimited webs would not be fun.
Yeah, I like that they limited it as well. And I agree. I think they were just generous enough that it's something you could use if you felt like you needed to, especially the more like specialized moves that take some of your web, the little, you know, AOE shield, those kind of things. But even if you don't use it a lot in battle, even if you're doing the jump kick thing that Dustin, you know, kind of preferred, and I kind of leaned more into using webs when I could, but the web plays such a big role between him doing a lot of swinging, and not just to move around, but there's levels completely based on mobility, which is so on point for this kind of game, and so welcome that they didn't just make every sort of objective the same, you know, kill a bunch of little henchmen and then fight a boss, but, you know, escape a thing or catch a guy. They really broke it up, but webs play such a big part in that and in like objectives as you're going through these like puzzles and kind of triggering things throughout the level. You're shooting them with webs for the most part, and so even if you are just jump kicking your way through it, I feel like you're still gonna feel like it's a real Spider-Man-y experience.
That being said, here is one of my major points of contention when it comes to Spider-Man games in general. So do you guys remember we've played a Spider-Man game mm-hmm. on our podcast before?
Yes, 2D.
The Amazing Spider-Man versus the Kingpin.
Yeah, that was and a real one.
It was a frustration that I had in that game. I believe that I mentioned it on the podcast. But again, that's 1991. This is 2000. So we're 9 years in the making. We're in 3D world now. One of the things for me when it comes to Spider-Man that makes it difficult to enjoy these games is when our hero is constrained to being inside so often. And I know that there are game limitations even 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago now, but I think we've got to come up with a better solution even early on here. Like the fog, I think that's okay, but let us be outside and up in the like lofty parts of New York City more often. They give us a few of those, but then they push us inside and they keep us inside for level after level after level so that there's very limited free swinging that you can do, and pretty much Spider-Man is running around on the ground. And I don't find that enjoyable.
You get to do a little bit of swinging around even inside. And you can jump up and crawl on walls and whatever else. It definitely feels different than being outside. Yeah. But I think they at least tried. Like, they gave those couple of levels outside and the level where you're swinging and chasing Venom and all of those sort of pieces of things. I think it would have been cool if like, the Mysterio fight had been outside instead of inside. I think that would have helped with that.
Another boss battle, but I still don't know if that's enough. You cannot quickly go through that Venom chase scene as if that wasn't the worst thing ever put in the video game.
Yeah.
That is the breaking point for me.
Really?
I live streamed a little bit this week of the game, and one of our listeners actually captured, I don't remember what it's called,
clipped.
A portion of that chase scene where I broke. I realized that this segment at least is broken. I don't know if you guys got the bug, but there is a bug in that chase scene after it does a cut scene type thing. And then Peter Parker climbs up into the corner of this weird like building shape, and you're having to chase Venom. And there's this bar at the top with Venom's picture and Spider-Man's picture. And if he gets too far away, then you have to start over again. And it was near impossible for me to be able to capture him after I got that bug where I had to get out of this corner and turn my Spider-Man around to actually go and catch Venom.
And that's, you gotta deliver on a chase scene with Spider-Man. Like, you can't make it frustrating like that. It needs to be like fast paced, easy to navigate, and don't get stuck. Like, I feel like I'm with you. I think the inside thing they had to do, but like it doesn't feel like Spider-Man at times, unfortunately, because I picture being on buildings, but there's a ton of asset repetition outside. The buildings all look the same, and there's nothing unique about each one. There's just thugs
asset
on top.
Reputation, like you said, some like just
you're so close.
Did I say reputation?
No, you didn't.
No. Oh, okay.
I did. And went with it. Some like broken assets to where like you're clipping. The things on the inside aren't that beautiful. I guess the stages are slightly different, but then like I'm in the sewers far too long. And I don't know, man. I just, as a Spider-Man, I need my, I need to be able to get out and stretch my wing legs. Like, I need to be able to soar through the city. And here in 2000, I guess we weren't able to actually do that
yet. Yeah, I see. I feel like it's most, and I guess there's some design stuff, but I felt like for being PlayStation, you know, early PlayStation, like this is still PS1. I felt like they handled those Spider-Man-y things as well as they could, at least.
I agree. I agree with both of you, but I think this was a very important Spider-Man game. I think it was for a lot of people, this was like, oh my goodness, I'm actually swinging in New York City. So at the time, I think it was very impressive, but now I can feel that a little bit. One of the redeeming things about being inside, I enjoyed the missions. Like, I mean, the bank heist is the first one. The chase scenes weren't my thing, but you have interactables. Like you can also pick up like a desk or a chair or something and throw it at enemies, which I thought was a nice little detail. Like they could have just left it as a button masher and using your web every once in a while. But I thought that was a fun little thing.
Yeah, and I will say that it's not just like interactables, but like the stages are different. So yeah, the bank heist scene, you've got to like pick up a bomb, take it out of the room. That's kind of the main thing there. And you're rescuing hostages. Then you've got a chase scene, and then you've got the sewers where you're trying to, it's more of a puzzle stage where you're having to unlock and lock doors. And then you have another, like not chase scene, but where you're like escaping helicopters as they're trying to mow you down from the buildings, and there's targets on the screen. And then scattered throughout there, you've got those boss battles that are slightly different and all annoying to me with Rhino and Venom and Scorpion. Whoever else you're fighting. But I do think that they do some, not the level designs well, but the uniqueness of level to level. It does switch it up every once in a while.
I like that you pointed out, because I again thought they did a really nice job with that. It could have been a super tedious game. It could have been a lot of just fighting minions and getting really old. But the fact that sometimes you didn't even have to fight them, you could just pass them to go on to some objective. And that when you did, it made it obvious. And then the completely different modes of play, you know, like you mentioned a bunch of them early, but later on you end up fighting on the top of a train. You end up doing this sort of one boss battle where you're running around outside of somebody that's big and central. Like they did a lot of variety there. And yeah, some of the design stuff can be annoying. And like the piece that bugged me was all the jumping up and having to go through ceiling tunnels to get to places. That was very Spider-Man-ish, but it wasn't very intuitive. And finding those and then keeping track of your orientation once you like jumped up there and your camera changed was kind of frustrating at times. But I thought they did a great job of keeping the pace up and the diversity totally different. And so I never got bored with this game at all.
One of the cool things to me is that throughout the city, and I'm sure you guys came across it, whether or not you noticed it, is that there were at least some kind of collectibles.
Yes.
Not any collectibles or too many are typically the problems for me, but in this game, they gave you two things, I believe. One is just comic book covers that you could then go into the options like from the main screen and look through these different covers and get a summary of the comic that the cover comes from. I think that's cool little collectible there. Yeah. And then also you can collect and unlock different costumes, which as Spider-Man you've got to do because there's so many universes, so many iterations, so many Spider-Mans. And in this game in the 2000s, you've got lots of different costumes that you can switch into that even some of them where they affect the gameplay.
I played this game, if I haven't said, growing up, and I loved the collectible thing. The costume thing was so hype. But also the comic book, like when you get to see the covers and the load screens or whatever, so like awesome that they went to that detail. And I feel like for comic fans, that was even more important. Like, I'm not really a comic book fan or reader. I'm more of a gamer, but I still loved like finding those. It was so fun.
Aged. So I've talked a little bit about how I think this handled being sort of PlayStation era well, but I don't know. I'm just curious what you guys feel, because I think at the time it obviously was, I almost think unquestionably the best Spider-Man that had been done yet. But sometimes those mechanics don't future proof really well. And I don't know, were there any of those little pieces of things that just especially bugged you?
Bugged you? Yes, I should have gone that way. You're so much better just naturally at this than I am. Kenny, it sounds like that's where you're leaning towards. Is that fair?
Towards which?
It sounds like you're leaning towards that, like that's how you feel, that this is early PlayStation and in the negative sense and doesn't age well today. That's what it sounds like as you're setting this up.
I mean, I'm not going to give you my final verdict on the thought of this game until the end of the show. We got to build suspense. But
that is far from what I'm asking, and I know you'll never give your answer until like the final moment, until we force it out of you. I'm asking if these polygons, if this soundtrack, if this camera, if these controls, if all of those things. You don't have to answer, but the way that you set this up makes it sound like you think that that is bad PlayStation, and or maybe it worked early PlayStation but doesn't translate well 10 years later.
I think there's some elements that definitely show its age playing it today versus then. But I think for the era, it was really standout.
I think one of the things that holds it back now is the camera movement. I was used to that just because I played a lot of N64, and this did feel early PlayStation, but I was feeling more N64 just because that's what my mind thinks of when I see this game. I was not bothered by it, but again, I played a ton of these types of games, and the Tony Hawk engine, it looks like it at times, yeah, but also I wouldn't have known that. I would never have told you like, oh, they just used the Tony Hawk engine. Because what?
No, I wouldn't have been able to like say that specifically, but it does, it looks very early. It looks early PlayStation era. Like it looks like a 99, 2000 video game. And I do mean that in the negative sense. Camera is frustrating, but at least you've got a little bit of control. The two things that bothered me most was controls, like just the controls, and I'll kind of build that out if I need to. And then just the locking on system. I know that sounds like a weird thing. I'll start with the second thing first. The locking on system, a big part of this, you've got swarms of enemies coming at you at different times. And it tries to auto lock, but with the camera, and I guess that goes hand in hand, being all over the place, a lot of the times you don't know what enemy you're flying towards when I'm doing my jump kick maneuver. And there's one scene where you're on a train and you have to stay on the train while you're taking out swarms of enemies. And I can't tell you how many times I fell off of that train because of the locking on system. I thought I was going after an enemy, and instead Spider-Man was jumping off the train entirely. I think that's camera and that hand in hand. And then just the controls, trying to make Spider-Man do what I want him to do,
right,
rarely happened well. Like, I can get over PlayStation and Nintendo 64 polygons. Some of these things don't look good in this game, but I don't care. Like, I don't play the game for the most beautiful things, especially in an early PlayStation game. I can get over the soundtrack. I don't think it's that good. We can talk about that. But it's those two things that bother me the most, the locking on system and the controls.
I felt like Spider-Man was so slow, and he has to be fast. And we've gotten a lot better about that. Obviously, gaming development has been better since 2000, but it's just clunky. I think I'm with you on the controls. That's probably what I'm feeling the most. Like, there is a lag just naturally because games at the time had a little bit of input lag, but also just Spider-Man's slow. And at the time of recording, a Spider-Man game has come out that was a huge hit and everyone loved. So we've gotten better about that. So I felt that the most, like, this is not a superhero. He's not fast enough. You mentioned the soundtrack there. No major remarks on it from me other than it just, again, felt on brand and appropriate for Spider-Man. I wasn't looking for an amazing soundtrack, to be honest, for any superhero game, I don't think. I just need it to make sense, and this one made sense to me. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it felt a little uninspired to me, but hit the era and the genre real well and kept energy up. And so I felt like it served its purpose. It never bothered me, but I didn't think it was like revolutionary or anything.
It bothered me. It was too repetitive. The clips were too short. It was on par for that time, but they went with that industrial new rock thing that was fetched in 2000, but it's no longer fetched. And I don't think it's even implemented well for then because they were so short and just repetitive.
Dude, it should have been the Tony Hawk soundtrack. The punk music.
Like, just give us those songs. But here's what I did think they did exceptionally well, maybe even better than most every other Spider-Man game that's even ever come out. The voices. I think that they were so good. Now, they've got Stan Lee, we already mentioned that, and just beautiful. When I heard his voice and realized he was the narrator, bumps this up so many points in my book. But then they even were able to get a lot of the voice actors from the 90s animated Spider-Man shows, like the voice for Spider-Man, Doc Ock, and others. They are from the cartoon, and so they're going to be very familiar to you. And I thought the voiceovers were exceptional.
Which was one of the reasons that I think brand is one of the things this game did well. Even the overabundance of heroes and villains is such a Spider-Man-y kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like they weren't afraid of it. And so I don't know. They did a great job, voices and tone and everything, of just like, this was Spider-Man.
Yeah, I still think it's impressive, honestly.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not our game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3 of the vote to swing
one way
or another. We've been saving it for this episode this whole time. 2/3 of the vote. So one of you, start us off.
I'll jump in. I know this game wasn't perfect. Some of it comes with the era. Some of it comes with the console. Some of it comes with the difficulty of doing some of the Spider-Man kinds of things, crawling around on the roof and then not on the roof and swinging and having cameras that make sense are tough. For the era, I think they did as good a job as you can on that. And they did so many other things well. The branding, the action, the pace, the diversity of things that you're supposed to do, that despite even a few noticeable today hiccups, I had so much fun playing this game, and I think they made a real gem. It definitely doesn't future-proof perfectly, but if you like Spider-Man and if you're okay with PlayStation as an era, you're going to have a great time playing this game, I think. So, New Game Plus for me.
I'll swing in and say that swing.
No, that's the second time.
You already made that one once.
I'll crawl in and say that I do think that this is the first good Spider-Man in video games. Like where you're feeling more and more like Spider-Man, you're able to do some of the Spider-Man-esque things. Even that amazing Spider-Man one that we played, it had some good qualities. I think it may have even gotten, I don't remember where we landed But this one's the first one where you're able to actually kind of start feeling like Spider-Man. There's a few really high quality things. Stan Lee, some of the voice acting, the different techniques and abilities that Spider-Man has, the different costumes and collectibles. All of those things are exceptional for a game that came out almost 20 years ago. But I think the handling and the controls and the camera, those things set it in the negative for me. I was surprised this week when I began to look around on lists of like best Spider-Man games, and this is always in the top three, and then on some of them it's number one. And that blows me away. I get it for those that played it back then, and so they've got this tie into it, but for me who hadn't played it back then and I'm coming to it for the first time in the year 2019, it did not click for me. And so although I see a lot of redeeming qualities, the 2000 PlayStation Spider-Man does not get my vote.
And it for you, it was more how than what? Like, it
mechanics.
Wasn't just that it was hard and you should have gone back and done it on kid mode?
Okay, maybe. But I think that, like, the story was okay. I like the cast of characters. Give me tons of villains and heroes. That's fun. The humor with Spider-Man, where it's kind of cringy. But I think those things work. Even the graphics, I think that works. But some of the setup with keeping me inside all the time and the controls, and it felt like I was starting to feel like Spider-Man, but then there were still far too many limitations for me to truly feel that way. And so that is one yes, one no. It comes down to Nolan, which it rarely does. This is so much fun.
This never happens.
Swing in and give us your impression.
Hold on, let me surf the web. So I think that this Spider-Man release in 2000 was incredibly important. Up until then, there were some okay Spider-Man games, but all of them were missing New York. And to me, Spider-Man, and to everyone, I mean, it's by default, Spider-Man requires New York City to be Spider-Man. Web-slinging, like just the cities, the buildings. And you need that. And this game wasn't perfect on it, but it delivered something. It was a huge step in the right direction for Spider-Man fans and games. I don't like Spider-Man as a superhero. I never really cared for him. I'm a Batman guy. And this game makes me like Spider-Man a little more. I played it a lot, so very nostalgic week for me. Like, I play this game a lot. It was a rent game for me. Like, I got it all the time. And that was a fun experience, having some nostalgia for it. But yeah, it screams PlayStation, like early PlayStation N64 gameplay. And Kenny's right. There's a healthy variety in this game that makes it not boring over long play sessions. And I love this game. Like, New Game Plus for sure.
Wow. And you're right. Because it's got 2/3 of the vote, that means that Spider-Man is New Game Plus certified. But what did you guys think? Alex wrote in and said, I was born in 99, so this was a game that my parents got me for the PS1. I know for a fact that I loved this game and that it was one of the biggest reasons I became a Spider-Man fan. But what's sad is that I was so young that I can just barely remember playing the game now. Like, I can remember little bits and pieces of awesomeness, but my memory of this game is so blurry that it is like a fever dream. A really awesome, beautiful fever dream. But when I played the game this week, oh, did that beep start? I wrote beep because it was a cuss word. Oh, did that beep start rushing back to me? The moment I saw that little foggy abyss that you can fall in while swinging through the city, I, a 20-year-old grown A man, felt afraid for some reason. Then I wondered why and realized, oh, beep. That's because I was always super afraid of falling in that abyss as a kid, and it had such an impact on me that I'm still afraid of it to this day, even when I barely remember playing the game. To me, that is just so beep cool. Oh, and the Stan Lee narration, as soon as I heard that, I was just overwhelmed with flashbacks and good memories. It's really awesome, and I just wanted to share this experience. Beep.
He ended it with a cuss word?
No, I just threw that last one in there.
I thought so.
Way to keep it family friendly. But I also get feeling passionately about this game, especially if you played it as a young kid. That's super fun. I love hearing those kind of memories.
It came back to me in a similar fashion. Like, when we announced Spider-Man last week, I was like, okay, which one? Like, whatever. And I actually forgot about this game. I was skeptical. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is a, I played this one
love
a lot.
That. And again, I'll lean on, like, I think for people that played this game, and I know Kenny didn't, but for the most part, people that played this game, I bet it did a lot for them back in 2000 because they hadn't had a Spider-Man game that had done that yet. And now that they did, I can see why this could bring back some fond feelings. So I get that. Yeah. Thank you for writing in, Alex. Antonin also wrote in and said, in the 90s, Spider-Man was one of my favorite cartoons. I highly recommend rewatching it even today. Still holds up. Just like the game of the week. I remember when I first played this game and I was confused how Spider-Man could shoot web randomly into the sky and swing to another building. But outside of that and other weird quirks, this game is so much fun. From various web attacks to jumping around to Spidey sense and the healthy banter from Spider-Man as he's beating up the bad guys or getting beat up. My favorite web attack has always been the web cocoon thing, and I remember spamming it as a kid. The graphics are fantastic. Spider-Man is on brand, hey, and totally reminds me of the cartoon. Even the voice acting is really great. Have you unlocked all of the possible skins? They're amazing. Also, give it up for the amazing music. I played this game from start to finish and its sequel, which is just as fantastic. I definitely recommend it as well. The only downside of the game is the lack of good camera control. If it were remade today, it would highly benefit from the two analog stick setup that most consoles use today. If this game doesn't get NGP status, I'll be terribly disappointed in each and every one of you. Shame on you.
He's going to hate you, Dustin.
I'm glad.
It still got it.
I'm glad that, that he's only ashamed of you and not us.
That's fine. I'll take that. I stand behind that. I think this game sucks. I know it doesn't, but no. That's too hard.
I don't think they could remake this one, though, because one, that recent Spider-Man game came out and was amazing. And how would you remake it? It would just be that game that just came out. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think what we have now in the Spider-Verse is a testament to Spider-Man and then Spider-Man 2 taking the things that they did well and building on it and just kind of perfecting the system. But if you give us the same story and all of those villains and heroes, I think on the modern system today with the modern setup, I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It works for a game. It does not work for a movie to cram too many villains in. As one of the terrible Spider-Man movies showed us. But that's a whole different conversation.
Whole different conversation for a different time. For now, we are going to set aside Spider-Man, and we are going to randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days.
No, we're not.
Well, why the heck not?
I don't know. We don't want to. No, we've got a much better reason than that. Finally, after a really, really, really long break of...
I mean, we do that every time. So I think maybe just our schedule is that every 6 months we've got a guest.
It's true. Finally, after enough time for it to be time again, we've got another guest episode.
Yes. So we've got a girl from the UK that's going to be joining us. She's a YouTuber, a gamer, retro gamer. Ooh, in fact, nice. She has a number of videos journaling her tours of various retro game stores in the UK.
Super fun.
Her name is Gemma, and she'll be joining us next week to play a 1996 PlayStation title. Ooh. So we're staying on the PlayStation.
Nice.
Sweet.
It's a game based on a 1995 film of the same name.
Spider-Man?
Those always scare me.
But it was published by Interplay Productions. Mm-kay. We're going to go into the world of a friendly ghost, and we are going to be playing a game called Casper.
No way.
Huh.
That's crazy.
Huh. That Casper came out on a few different systems at this time. I think there was a Super Nintendo version and like maybe even a handheld, but we're going to be playing the PlayStation 1 version of Casper.
I'm scared.
I remember when the movie dropped, but I didn't know that they had made a game based off of it. That's kind of interesting.
For sure. So play along with us. And in the meantime, check out all that Gemma is doing over at her website, juicygamereviews.com, or on her YouTube channel, which is just The Gebs 24, The GEBS 24.
Be sure to check us out in our Discord server. We have a free server that you can join. Anyone can, not just our patrons. But if you are a patron and you haven't joined, you have some benefits in there. The color of your name changes. And we want to hang out with you. So go to Twitter, click on the Discord link, buy a shirt, would you? We have four of them. And they're all awesome. Some of them are inside jokes. And we just released our first mini series. We're not liars. We said we'd do it, and we freaking did it. You should go check it out. It's a 6-part series, so it'll take you a little time, but it's bingeable, Netflix style. We release them all at once.
Heck yeah.
And it's about each of our gaming pasts and how we got started in gaming and what games mean a lot to us.
And each of them are like 35 or so minutes long, so that's a lot of content for you. You've got a lot waiting in your podcast inbox right now.
So hopefully you have a good road trip coming up. Or some other excuse to jump in. And the reason we do all the bonus stuff that we do, our elements, now this mini series, is just sort of as a thank you to those who support us on patreon.com. Our patrons really help us to continue making a quality product, and by hitting some of our goals, help us achieve not only a better podcast, but some cool new content for all the rest of our listeners. So big thanks to every single one of you who supports us as a patron, especially to our producer level supporters, Alex, Dear Baby, Zion, Bill. You guys are great. And we also want to give a big shout out to two new supporters.
No.
What?
Michael, our new producer.
That's true.
That you've added to the list.
I haven't updated my list to
Michael
to show
we're
five
sorry.
Now.
Take away your patronage. We don't deserve it.
He already even called me out for trying to act like he was Gimbarino, because for so long I was in the habit of the same rotation. But it's a new one. So we'll do it again. To Alex, to Dear Baby, to Bill, to Zion, and to Michael. Thank you guys,
Michael,
all, as well as Derek and Chris, who are now supporting us on Patreon.com. Also, thanks to every single one of you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. As always, you can visit our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast. We've been streaming like nobody's business.
That's true.
We've been putting up video content on YouTube like no one's business. That's a New Game Plus podcast. Listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. A lot of you coming to us from Spotify lately, which is just wonderful. Make sure on whatever you're listening to us on, you're subscribed so that you're the first to get new NGP episodes. And if you're able to, especially on iTunes, leave a kind rating and review. That definitely helps us with visibility. And tell someone about New Game Plus this week. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Casper along with Gemma. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And we're not anybody different. And this has been New Game Plus. Hello?
Hi.
Guys?
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us, Dustin?
I can't.